We continue the study, Book of Acts, chapter 4, and we're moving down through these verses of Scripture, and we're in verse 27 is where we're going to begin reading today. We have, I think I'll even start with the 25th verse, because we make some references to what Peter quoted from David out of Psalms chapter 2, and so let's start with Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distributed them. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was the apostle, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of the consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can lift up your precious word just and openly read it, publicly read it, and to come into your house, to be with this family, to read your precious word in itself is a wonderful, wonderful day. And now we get to visit and fellowship over those precious words, that we may have a great understanding of what you have in store for us in the future, what you have in store for us today, the strength and the opportunities, the wisdom that you give us, the peace that you give us, even in this God-forsaken world that we live in, and yet we can walk each day in peace because of the presence of your Spirit in our hearts, your precious word, the wisdom again you give us. So, Father, just guide and lead us, but please, Lord, that there be not anyone here today that has not chosen you as their Savior. And that choice is not something that just comes upon our mood of the day. It comes by, Father, your Spirit as he comes and convicts the heart and shows us we're a sinner and lost and that we need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us today and bring those that are lost to you and those that are saved closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we've walked down through these verses of Scripture, and that 27th verse says, for a truth, and that's what we need to be standing upon, is the Word of God, the truth. And that was the point that Peter was making as he quoted these Scripture verses from David. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And we know that the fullness of this is going to come in the future. But right now, in for a truth or for a reality, is this taken place? We talked last week that the Holy Child is a sonship, not speaking of his age of being a child, but of being his position as the Son of God. We know, according to the Word of God, that Pilate, Herod, Rome, and the Jews were all together in coming against the Lord Jesus, that they would have him to be crucified. And as we said last week, the Jews delivered the false evidence, and that delivered him up. And Pilate sentenced the Lord Jesus. The Romans, they nailed Jesus to the cross. And so the Romans there speak of the Gentiles. So we have everything that Peter lists here, Herod, Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the nation of Israel all joined together. So we find that the Jews, you know, they claim to follow the true God. But we know that they knew Jehovah, knew of Jehovah. God presented Jehovah to them, had more opportunities than any peoples that lived at that time to know God, to know the Messiah that was to come. And yet they got all tangled up in their traditions and their ways, and they were no closer than what the Romans were with their pagan gods, because they had rejected the very Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these forces had joined together to crucify the Lord Jesus. Now, you can see, because of what is taking place here, and if you'll look at just two things in this world today, there are two, and many times, most of the time, they're really hand in hand. But the reason that people will not come and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, and it's the same today, it's because they're afraid that they're going to have to surrender power, or they're going to have to surrender of their monies. Because in both cases, and both of them are hand in hand, if you look at the organized church today, it's all about two things. It's about power, control, and it's about money. And those two things control the church today, power and money. And why do they not want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be a true Christian? Is because the Word of God stands against, directly against, every god and every cult that is out there. And so it stands against them. And when you stand against someone or a group, they don't look at it to see, well, you know what, maybe that's right. The group will never do that, because the group will lose power, will lose authority, and in turn lose money. And so here, this is Peter and these apostles brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was tearing apart everything that they stood for, and they become very envious of that. As we spoke last week, and I thought it was worth repeating, and that is that Christianity is not like any other religion. It is a living organism. It is all about knowing the Lord Jesus and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not a religion. It's not an organization. And so it was not to be placed, as in this time they had so many gods that they would have hills and mounts that would have all the gods displayed. Christ and Christianity, it was not to be just placed with them as another choice. Christianity is the only true way of living and to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity claims that Christ was the Messiah, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only Savior of mankind, the only way that we can have forgiveness of sins, and it denounces all religious systems that are out there. And when people believed the gospel, they left that pagan religion. They left those things. And that's what we should do today. When you're born again, when you're saved, we should come away. We read that this morning as we were studying through the Constitution. We're to separate ourselves from them. We're not to be a part of them. And as was said in one of the statements, we shouldn't even reach our hand out and shake hands with them, because we should have no fellowship with them. And we realize that they believe and follow the other God. There are only two, and one is a false, fake, lying God, and that is Satan himself. And he has very limited power, but he is the God that many people bow down to and follow. Well, he is a God that's going to lead them to destruction, not to salvation, and not to love and power and joy, to enjoy this life and then on to the next life as well. We should always understand that when we get saved, we should move from those places. And at this time, we have Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Rome, all were places of great wickedness. And that great wickedness was all built around these pagan gods. I never forgotten when they brought folks in and they were going to dedicate the temple. And I knew the manager of the hotel across the river. And he said, all the folks that came in for the dedication of that Mormon temple, he said when they left, they stole towels, ashtrays, they stole anything that wasn't nailed down. He said all these good people. And another place that we do some work at up in Burlington, why the manager up there said, I don't know, Larry, I know you're a preacher, but can you do something to get rid of the evil spirits that's here? They were lost. And yet they still, when they come in large groups, they could feel the presence, the satanic presence. You want to know if it's good or evil? It's evil. It's evil. The truth, as the scripture says here, for of a truth. And we need to stand upon that precious word and not be duped in following others. And so many today have followed Catholicism. And as we've witnessed in this past few days of such a great calling and a great following, what a sad, sad day. What a sad day. We want to know why there's a battle going on against Christianity. It's because organized religion is driven by Satan himself. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, in verse 28. This was foretold back in Psalms chapter 2. That's where it was stated, this is what's going to take place, and it has. And so what a joy it is to look to the Word of God and know that it's true. And then on to verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. These apostles were not driven away by these threats. They were strengthened, and it did not draw them away or drive them away. It drew them closer unto the Lord Jesus, to depend upon him, to walk with him. And the prayer that is being prayed here is, please that these threatenings have come, and please that you would strengthen us and give us all boldness to proclaim your precious word. And they did not ask that, please would you help me and protect me physically. You know, I'm gonna be beaten, I'm gonna be thrown in prison. Lord, please keep me out of prison. Lord, keep me from being physically beaten. They didn't mention one thing in the prayer here that was requested. Give me a boldness to take that word out. You see, they weren't afraid of any physical harm that could come. They weren't afraid of what may take place in their lives. They wanted a boldness to preach and to teach the Word of God, to take the gospel out. That's what they deserved. Grant unto thy servants all boldness. All boldness. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 15. Luke 21, verse 15. Jesus said, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." And that word gainsay here, as we look at these scriptures, is to, you cannot refute it, you cannot deny it. And that is the power that Jesus said, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Now, that's not something that I have or something. It's a power that God gives us when we're filled with His power and strength to take the Word of God out. And it again, that word gainsay is to, you can't refute it, you can't deny it. Their request here was simply, "Give me courage to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Give me courage to testify of your name, that I may take out that wonderful gospel and speak of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and speak it with a boldness." And again, they ask in verse 30, "Would you please, Lord, extend the blessing and the opportunity of these miracles?" Because the Word of God was not complete at the time. For them to certify, to identify that this was the Lord Jesus, and we're speaking in His name, "Would you please allow us, stretching forth thine hand, to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done in thy name of the Holy Child Jesus." It was the purpose of confirming that this is true, this is right, performing miracles that no other could perform. And so this identified. Now, we have the complete Word of God. We no longer have need of those things. But these proofs concerning the name and the person of the Lord Jesus was all done. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? For God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." And so you see, point and the purpose. Now those opportunities, those things of to come and to touch a man, to speak in tongues, as some felt that it was a special power given. The purpose of the tongues, of course, was to get the gospel out. And there were so many different dialects. It wasn't that it was an unknown tongue and the kind of the gibberish that we have today. And today, why, when preachers hold a healing service, it is not of God, because God could use me to speak His word, but God does the healing. It's not given to a man in any special power or presence. Again, they did not pray for physical healing, they prayed for a spiritual strengthening and a boldness to proclaim the Word of God. And when this was prayed and the prayer was finished, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. So they came out and that place was shaken. And it was the description of that shaking as the raging of a sea, or the trembling of an earthquake, or the shaking of a great mighty tree in a wind. It was a witness that God has heard and responded to the requests of these believers. The Jews were very common, because this shaking of the earth was proof that the presence of Jehovah God. We have some verses of Scripture here. Let's go back to Isaiah 29:6. God doesn't just leave you out there alone. He will show you and confirm to you His power and His presence. Isaiah 29:6. And thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes and with great noise, with storm and tempest and with flame of devouring fire. So you see, they looked at those scripture verses. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. I warned you in Sunday school this morning we were going to be in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 7. And I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride against thine horses and thine chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribe, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, and the mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of the glittering spear. The trembling mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. God lets himself known. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. Matthew 27, verse 54. This one you're a little more familiar with. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So God takes and shakes this old earth from time to time when he wants to show his power and his strength. And they left here as we look back now in Acts chapter 4. Verse 31, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With a boldness they took the word of God forth. And then the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. We go back, and it's just a page for you, so I'm going to have you turn back to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 42 through 45. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, a lot of folks think that, you know, that the Word of God is suggesting that you sell all that you have and bring it to the church. Number one, this isn't any sign of level of communism. It is upon the need. And as people at this time, and it could come today, where there's going to be great need to care for believers, for each other. But during that time, you personally, God will lead you to bring this monies or bring whatever it may be to help. It is not to put in everything comes into the pot of the church and then or to the government in many cases today, and then it's distributed out as we see fit, as you have need. That puts everyone, you know, everyone is equal. That is not taught in the Word of God. These people in Acts chapter 2 and here in chapter 4 both recognized a great need that these young believers in the young church had. And they chose by their own desire and their own will to take what they had and give to those that have need. It wasn't that they were commanded by some rule or some law. And it is not designated, not said to be today that that should take place. But the heart of every believer should be in such a manner that when we see a need, and if we have the opportunity and the ability to help, maybe it's something physically that we can do, a repair or something we can help with, or financially, maybe we have the ability to help. And if we do, and the need is there, and God's leading you to do that, then do it. Be obedient in what to the Holy Spirit wants. But to bring everything into the house of God and make everything common and distribute out as the needs are there is what was taken care of here. But it does not suggest that everyone sold everything and brought everything in. There were some properties sold. But the word common here, you know, we have in the second chapter, as we do here in verse 32, there's some things. They continued in doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking of bread. And they continued in a singleness of heart, praying and praising God. That's what was common to them. And so if there was a need, it wasn't given a second thought to help that need that was there. This word fellowship that we have back in Acts chapter 2, it is translated, that very word is translated into several different words through the Scripture. One is fellowship, one is communion, one is communication, one is distribution, contribution, partakers, and pardoners. So as we look at that word fellowship, communion, communication, distribution, contribution, partakers, and pardoners. And the root word of that word fellowship back in Acts chapter 2 is the same word as we have here at the very last word of chapter 4, verse 32. Common. Common. They had all things common. Now, again, that's not saying that we bring everything in and then redistribute it. What do we have common? We are all children of God. We are all hid in Christ, with Christ in God. We are all His heirs. We all have common the opportunity of wisdom and power and strength. And one thing that we enjoy, and that is that as a person that is born again, that possesses this fellowship, this commonness, it should give us a desire to be listening and to watching, to always helping as we can if there's a need there. And so please, it is not teaching in here, but they had all things common. Yes, they did. They possessed the love of God. They desired to serve the Lord Jesus to the best of their ability. And if one fellow realized that he possessed something, look at the verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as had possessions of land and houses sold them and brought the prices of things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet. Understand, at this time, there was great need. These many times they were thrown, taken from their house. They had no place to live. They had no work. They had no, all their possessions were gone. They had no means or ability to eat. They, in some cases, had no opportunity of work. because they had forsaken the Jewish traditions and the Jewish laws, and they had followed the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. And so all of a sudden here, you sit here and you own lands and you have property and you have wealth, but your brother is sitting there and he is starving to death. And you say, well, I feel sorry for him. Or does your heart, directed by the Spirit of God, to help because you have means to help? And that's what it needs to be. Now, there was great needs here. And these people never gave it a thought to sell their properties to help because the need was so great. And there may be a time when those same needs become great that we have in this land as we continue to walk down the path of wickedness that our government is heading in. We may face that same thing as the latter days come, that we may need to do just that. But the Lord's going to direct you when you do that, when you need it. We have something here, and we'll close with this, but it's one heart and one soul. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. And again, it wasn't that he didn't own them and possess them, but he was willing to give whatever was necessary to give. Whatever the need was, they were willing, each one, to give what they could to help, to further the gospel, to lift up these poor Christians that had nothing. We have the heart and the soul. They were of one heart and one soul. You know, we go through some scriptures where it speaks of their unity. They are one. But here it divides it, one heart and one soul. And so not only their feelings, their emotions, their life is one with their soul. And as they are born again, they are made new. And so now the heart and the soul are one. And they have a great desire with great boldness to take out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not going to take off down the street and tell people about Jesus. We need here to be able to have our brothers and sisters to be strong enough that they can go too. And I may need to sell something I have, or I may need to give them something, so they do have the strength to walk each day. Salvation of their souls, and they also submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. They had fellowship. They had fellowship. We say when we go downstairs, you know, we're going to go downstairs and have fellowship. Well, it should be this fellowship. Yes, do we enjoy food and eating of the food, but also should be a time of looking to the brothers and the sisters and lifting them up, seeing the needs that they have, and at the same time, you know, we may be the one that has needs now, but we may be the one that has the opportunity to help someone later. And so they came out with a boldness, asking for the Lord's hand and his power and his strength, not asking for protection upon their own lives, but we want to take out the gospel, and we are together. We are one in Christ. Now, you're not going to have any squabbling or any backbiting or any cliques when you have this in the church. This is what God desires us to have. We'll kind of pick up a little bit of that and then go on to chapter 5, because we're going to find that Ananias and Sapphira, they kind of liked the looks of what this was doing. Everybody was getting patted on the back for what they were doing, and oh my, we're going to join in. But it didn't end so well for Ananias and Sapphira. So all depends on the heart, what the need is. Let's close in prayer. Father, for us to be unselfish and for us to desire to have this fellowship and looking to see, as you know, many times there's limited funds. There's not the opportunity to help. Sometimes there is that opportunity to help. But Father, we always need to be there asking you how you would have us to help. Maybe it's a matter of physically helping in some manner, doing something that they can no longer do, but to help them, Father. And maybe it's a matter that we need to help them in prayer to come through a difficult time of some sort or another. And whatever the need is, Father, we need to know it, and we know it by listening. And again, not to be nosy and getting into their affairs of things, but to see their needs. And then many times it's just to take that home and pray for them. We see that there's a need there. There's a hurt there, a physical hurt or a financial need of some sort. And Lord, please direct me. How can we help here? Thank you for your precious word. It all begins with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And if, Father, we don't know your Son Jesus as our Savior, we have nothing. So please, all today, please, that they know you as their Savior and begin this walk, that they can have the joy and the peace each day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.